It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We just had on Charlie Warner. He went to Georgia. Bijan Robinson walked through the door today muttering Georgia sucks under his breath as he headed to the podium, but he had a Georgia shirt on. So, yes. Obviously, there was some betting going on behind the scenes.
And Bijan, being a man of honor, paid off the bet.
Yes, he did. So, Joe Patrick, our buddy who covers the Falcons up here, put that out there. But bottom line, man, you know, listen, Charlie is really good at what he does, Mike. He talked about Georgia running the ball, and we're going to talk about the Dogs coming up here and Kirby getting to win 100.
Right.
But those are the kind of things that go on between teammates all the time.
Had a funny conversation today with one of my neighbors, and I give a shout out to Robbie. He's another guy who works for Delta. He's a mechanic, and he goes, "Man, you guys with Coonan, you blew the bet." He said, "Coonan gets to come on the air. Carl should have been selling beer at a game."
He didn't ask.
I mean, there was no demands. The bet was basically if Texas wins, Carl gets to be CEO for the day of the Hawks.
I was hoping.
And I really want to get those MLK jerseys permanent. But the other side of it was Steve would come and do the show. But yeah, my buddy Ryan's like, "Hey man, yeah, Steve should have really pressed Carl. Texas loses, Carl's got to sell beer for a quarter at the Vets
Cold
Farm.
Beer. That would have been great.
Right.
It would have been great." But yes, he didn't ask. He was so enamored with wanting to be on the air, Mike, and wanting to sit in this seat
that
he was like, "I don't care. I'll come in and be."
That would be a wacky radio stunt. I think you could take time out of your suit on Bally's and go sell some beer.
It would be. It'd be great, man.
Or maybe put Trevor in a wife beater with a gun show. You guys out there.
I'll tell you what, Trevor's been in the gym. Trevor, I know you're listening.
I mean, every day,
gym, man.
We joke around about every day is chest day. Every day is arm day for Trevor Scales.
He's been in the gym. I'm like, "Bro, what are you doing?"
I think even more than it's like, crikey, mate, enough with the arm day. What do you got, like a Joe Weida arm blaster there during 7-day stretches?
He's just in there stretching this thing out. Hey, real quick, Coach was talking about this. We'll talk Dogs here in a second. But Coach said, Mike, he's going to cook with the ingredients in the building. He quoted Mike Tomlin. That's a Tomlin quote. And we asked him about, you know, do you go up to the front office and say, "Hey, I need X. I used X because I didn't want to put specifics on.
No, and you can't talk about specific players in the NFL anyway.
Right.
But, look, the number one guy would be, you know, Myles Garrett. But then, you know, guys, you're going to have to give up a huge chunk. And you better think your team can win a Super Bowl in these next 2 or 3 years while you got Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And remember, we're not even talking about Penix. Penix is off the table. He didn't draft Penix to trade Penix. That's not even an option. Because I know we've seen much of, like, mock, you know, nonsensical mock trades.
For sure.
Max Crosby, I think you get Max Crosby for a second rounder. And maybe another, you know, another third rounder or something.
Well, here's the deal with this. And Turtle, real quick, they're asking us. Yeah. I think they got some stuff going
TV.
On.
They go take some TV behind
Here's the deal with this. If you're a star, right, and you want out, and I don't know if they do, you can force your way out. We know this.
Right.
If Myles Garrett is like, it's not going anywhere in Cleveland. All of a sudden now, you know, Deshaun and this, all this stuff hasn't worked out. You traded for guys, wide receivers, etc. Yes, Chubb is back, but it just feels like this is going nowhere. If Myles Garrett puts his foot down, Mike, he can get out. If Max Crosby wants out of Las Vegas, he can get out. But I just don't know if that's what they want. It's
right.
One thing for teams to hope and call and say, you guys moving him? And the team goes, well, nope. But what are you thinking about offering? But the star hasn't said, I don't want to be here anymore. Because that's what happened with Davante Adams.
Right. Davante Adams, get me the hell out of here. He was miserable. They traded. Like, he came there to be with his friend Derek Carr. Derek Carr obviously gets washed out, winds up in New Orleans. You know, it is interesting, though. I mean, we were talking before, you know, earlier in the show about DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins has got a bum thrown him at Will Levis, who's his highlights are going to be that game against us and pimping mayonnaise.
That's right.
And he's going to be wearing a baseball hat for the next couple of years because he's no good. And Tennessee looks like they're ready to tank and get in the mix for whoever you think is the number one quarterback, Shador Sanders, you know, wherever Carr and Beck is going to land. But either way, or, you know, Quinn Ewers at some point. But getting back to, you know, D-Hop, the Chiefs make a trade, and every fantasy football owner goes, "Woohoo! Perfect! So simple, so easy." Is there a comparable, I mean, stud, or certainly maybe at the tail end of his career, edge rusher out there that we could find for a minimal draft pick? And granted, we're running out of draft picks in the 25 draft because of some of the things we've already used and penalties NFL.
It's true. By the way, Wes Durham is set to join us coming up here in about 10 minutes. Real quick, we just need to talk about this because we were talking with Charlie Warner. He was a Dog, obviously is a Dog, long time. Telling us about his conversations with Kirby Smart. Great stuff. If you missed it, go online at odyssey.com. But Kirby picking up his 100th win, and that is an incredible feat. But when you start talking about the things that have happened under his tenure, Mike, the most total yards of offense Georgia has accumulated in a game, happened under Kirby's tenure. The number of games Smart needed to get to 100 wins, 117. That's the fewest of any coach in the SEC, obviously passing Nick Saban and Steve Spurrier. The fewest yards allowed Georgia has given up in a game. That came against Vandy in 2022. 77 total yards. That's Kirby. So you start talking about the 100 wins is one thing, but look at all these milestones that he's hit along the way to this great point of becoming what I believe is the best coach in college football. Most points a Smart team has scored in a game. Obviously, the national championship game against TCU, right. 65 points. That's Kirby. So congratulations to him, man. I know he's not done, and he doesn't want to talk about 100 wins. He's like, I'm worried about the next 100 because that's how his mind is. But this has been a hell of a run since he took over.
Other records, the most staff ever on a Georgia football team, Kirby. The most square feet of training facility, Kirby. No, I mean, like, he got what he wanted. You know, they've got all those all the different bells and whistles to certainly have the recruits and their families come into Sanford Stadium and make that decision. They want to stay in Athens. But that's something that, you know, Kirby lobbied for. Like, you brought him in to be Nick Saban. He's been Nick Saban. The only thing he couldn't do is beat Nick Saban, but once. But that's okay, because now you feel maybe the worm has turned over there in Alabama. Real quick, before we catch a break, I got a silver lining for you Texas fans. Interesting article from Saturday Down South from Connor O'Gara.
I don't want to hear it.
Basically saying that, you know, as bad as your offense looked, your defense created a bunch of punts and a bunch of turnovers.
Defense is good.
And held Georgia to a couple of field goals.
So, good score, Mike.
Yeah, you held Georgia to three field goals, and you had really, unfortunately, you had some terrible field position your defense had to deal with. Look, Georgia, 25-yard line punt, 17-yard line INT, 20-yard line INT. You know, there was a couple touchdowns, we know about that. But forcing field goals and punts, if you're Texas, you feel if we ever get a chance to rematch with Georgia or anybody else in this, you know, perceived top five, your defense will be ready. You just got to straighten out what you're doing on offense and be able to handle what Georgia's bringing.
I felt like, again, offensively, they were shook. And Georgia, with the pressure they were getting on yours, and you saw yours. Yours looked shook. That's
and
why they took him out of the game.
Arch Manning comes in, and he gets whipped up on.
So, I mean, that is legit. I do agree with that. But then your defense can only do so much when your offense is not helping you. Hey, coming up, West Durham. The voice of our Atlanta Falcons is going to join us. Some guy talk on the way as well. We're live at Flowery Branch. Stay right there. We are live at Flowery Branch. Thanks to Coach Ra for stopping by. You'll hear what he told us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Charlie Warner as well, tight end for our Atlanta Falcons. Down-to-earth dude, man, talking about the dogs and Kirby and all the things that are going on. Great stuff with him. Let's chop it up with Wes Durham, guys, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He joins us right now here on the show. And, Wes, you know, we were talking with Coach about the mistakes from last week and cleaning stuff up, and he was talking about the penalties. You know, you always go back and look at a game, and you go, all right, if this happens, right, we're in a different spot. Right. He kind of laid that out to us heading into this Tampa game. I feel like, you know, again, we'll regroup, we'll be ready for Sunday, and it's a big one for us considering another division game and a chance to really take control.
Well, the landscape of it, Carl and Mike, is huge. I mean, because you go to 4-0 against the division with two left, and the last one's not going to be the Panthers until the final game of the regular season. You go to New Orleans, I guess it's third week in November. You know, you get down there, and now all of a sudden you're starting to look at, you know, the value of games like the Giants, the Cowboys that follows, things of that nature, to kind of salt this thing to maybe put yourself in a position to where you can have this thing, you know, at least you're in the tournament, right? That's the key thing. Remember, only one team gets the bye now, but you're in the tournament, and that's a pretty good feeling. And look, the injury thing in Tampa the other night is just – especially for Godwin, is just really heartbreaking, right? And then Mike Evans being out till the bye, things like that. But you're playing these guys on a second time already. This is not your first time seeing them. You're not going to see Mike Evans the rest of the year. So you got to take advantage of another guy's tough spot. But that's the scary part about Tampa, because when you start looking at what they've done the last two games running the ball, now all of a sudden maybe they can change personality to offset the loss of two really, really talented guys offensively.
It's our man, Wes Durham. Yeah, we were talking about it with Coach, and as he says, just when you think, you know, okay, you got this one locked up. I mean, heck, we went down there. Remember last year we beat him? That was when Desmond Ridder had those three fumbles inside the 20. We find a way to win, and then Baker comes back and then lights it up against us at Mercedes-Benz. So you're right. You never know which way the story is going to go. Wes is with us on the WaitFor.com hotline. But I do think watching what the Ravens did, and boy, was that something. That was impressive. But I'd love to see us run the ball. I've got no problem, Wes, getting back to one of those, you know, 300-yard combined rushing days off a 500-yard passing game.
Well, and it's interesting, Mike, because if you go back and take the Carolina game and then Saturday's game, you know, you go to the Tampa game, which was, you know, the Thursday night game where Kirk threw for 500, right? And then you see the Carolina game. That's two different offensive structures, right? Look at the way Atlanta ran the ball against the Panthers after throwing the ball against the Buccaneers. Well, now, because of the way Tampa's set up, who knows how it's going to go. But I would agree with you. I think you've got an opportunity maybe to get out and run the ball a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see how the Buccaneers handle it. I mean, they are still, you know, 19th against the run, 30th in yards per carry defensively. So, you know, when you start kind of breaking things apart here, there's still these little, you know, kind of tabs in the road that you've got to be able to pass and hold on and take control. And I think that's where Atlanta finds this game. They're not coming off their best effort. We all understand that. Some of it's self-induced, you know, unforced errors, turnovers, things of that nature. Some of it, tip your hat to the Seahawks and move on. But I think where Atlanta finds itself is this is the kind of game right here that if you win the game, it can pretty much put you in a spot to where everything is in your reach still. And I think that's kind of what Raheem and his team have been building on based on, you know, the way they've talked since camp started in August.
Wes, we were talking with Coach also about all the movement around the NFL. Does it surprise you? We're seeing a lot of teams making moves for trades and whatnot and trying to improve. I mean, hell, the Chiefs today went out and got D-Hop to improve that wide receiving core.
Yeah, the D-Hop move where I think it's a 5 or it's a 4 and it's a 3 if they go to the Super Bowl or something of that nature. You know, Kansas City's just out to, you know, they want to run the house on this, Carl. I mean, you go find a way to get that done. And DeAndre, last time we saw DeAndre Hopkins, he was playing for the Titans, and Will Levis threw 3 touchdowns to him, right?
Yeah, we talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so DeAndre Hopkins clearly is going to be playing with a better quarterback than he was in Nashville. I mean, but you're also seeing moves, too, like, you know, what Devin White just got signed, right? He just signed up with somebody, Houston, I think.
Texans.
So, yeah, I mean, and so that means the Texans are trying to get there. I don't know that Atlanta necessarily has to do anything of that nature, but what Atlanta has to do is make sure that they're going to be able to get back whole as much as possible. And when I say get back whole as much as possible, that's Troy Anderson. That's also DeMarco Helms, by the way. You know, when do we start to get a feel for where DeMarco Helms might be in a potential return here? Because if you can sort some of that stuff out, I think that's a pretty valuable piece going down the stretch, and you don't have to risk – kind of the remainder of your season or potentially any kind of 25 money by making a trade here late.
Yeah, Wes, we were talking about it with Coach, and we're going to replay that interview for our audience about, you know, do you have the solution in the building? Because you just mentioned other teams are making moves, and it's not up to Major League Baseball, but we're getting more action, and we're getting more action earlier than we've seen in years past with the NFL. So I look at the roster, and you say, you know, where is that guy? Because Ebba Cady, we've talked about. Today we even asked Coach about Zach Harrison, who we thought, you know, showed some signs of maybe elevating his game in the offseason.
Yep.
But it's just not translating to getting the quarterbacks on the ground.
Well, and that's a fair fight, Mike, and you're right. I mean, it's not, and I know they're disappointed in it. But is there a magic bullet out there that you can take right now? I mean, I've been asked one way or another about Max Crosby till I'm blue in the face. I mean, I just don't know that financially that's a win for you, right? I mean, and the last thing we need to do around here, you guys know this, you were here when it happened, the last thing we need to do out there is go hedge something on somebody like Ray Edwards, right? I mean,
yes,
you don't need to do that again. Yeah. I knew I could get Bell. Carl, I knew I can hear the laugh knowing that I got Bell with that one, right?
In the old days of the coaches show, when we'd play it, I would walk around. We used to do it during the show, Carl. So I was walking around the facility here. They have a walking path. And Ray Edwards out there in the middle of the field by himself. And the next day, he quits football. So, yeah, that's not what we're looking for. Not what we need.
Yeah. Well,
no,
he
that's
was
not rushing the past, Mike. Yeah.
Wes Durham joining us. Wes, here's the deal. As we talk about the Falcons and the Bucks coming up Sunday, Wes, obviously, Dave will have the call for you guys. I just want to really just get into some college football with you because you're calling games around the country. And this thing is starting to get interesting now, right? I mean, we've seen some interesting matchups. We're going to see more, whether it be Big Ten, SEC. It's going to shape out. It's going to shake out, and things are going to happen where we'll have a clear understanding of what this is going to look like. The playoff committee meets next week, and they'll start those rankings. Tell me what you think about, you know, Oregon being one, obviously Georgia's two, but I'm curious about the ACC, and we went from, or at least I did, thinking maybe one to Clemson and Miami could get in, right?
Oh, sure, Carl. Look, I mean, let me kind of take you inside a little bit of the ACC. They've got a tie-breaking procedure now for their championship game. Every conference has this, by the way, that doesn't have divisions, okay? So, and some are a little different in the granular sense than others. But in the case of the ACC, right now you've got Pitt, SMU, Clemson, and Miami are all undefeated in the league, right? And any possible scenario that plays out right now, two of those four, let's say, would go to the championship game. Well, in some of the, you know, codicils, if you will, of the tie-breaking procedure, you got to go 4 and 5 steps down to clear if you have three undefeated teams. And some of the, you know, processes and policies of those tiebreakers get down to something called, you know, winning record of common opponents. Well, just to give you a hypothetical here, if that ends up being SMU, Miami, and Clemson, Carl, it's possible that Miami won't go to the championship game.
Mm.
So then what happens, right?
Right.
So how does that play itself out? Because Miami might be undefeated through the regular season, but they lost the tiebreaker and they're not going to go to the championship game. So think about that, though, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that and take it across to, I don't know, 3 or 4 one-loss teams in the SEC. Common opponents, winning record, common ground. I mean, what happens, right? I don't know the SEC's tie-breaking procedure. We're going to run into this. It's going to happen. It's going to – this is why the 12-team idea is really good, because what you're going to find is we're going to have 5 or 6 teams for 2 spots. That's the way it's going to work. You're going to have 5 or 6 at the back end of these at-large pools once we get through the automatics, right? You're going to have 5 or 6 teams for maybe 2 spots. And whereas Florida State was disappointed a year ago, you're going to have 3 or 4 that are disappointed this year because they didn't get a chance. I'm just kind of telling you the ACC story to let you know that I think it could happen in the Big 12. I think it could happen in the SEC. I think it can certainly happen in the ACC as well.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Indiana, you just laid out some great scenarios there. Who's going to get in these championship games, what the head-to-heads are going to be. And certainly, you know, Notre Dame will be there as a monkey with a wrench to be in there. That's why I think, Wes, we're going to have 1 year of 12, and then next year we're going to jump right to 16 teams.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Mike. I don't know. I think you're going to have a couple of years of 12 before you get to 16. But
really?
Because
okay.
I think they've got to look at the calendar a little bit, and they've got to work on the grid here. And we've got to back up the regular season, okay? We haven't done that yet. The regular season has to be backed up if we're going to go to 16 teams in the playoffs.
And it's just too much money. That's the thing. They're just going to see such a windfall with these big matchups you're talking about and
well,
high-ranked teams.
Yeah, and the thing I would also add, too, and this is a bigger picture we can tackle in the spring if you guys want to, you've got to get the scheduling worked out to where it's congruent, even though some leagues might play 8 and other leagues might play 9, right? And ultimately, there's some long, rich, traditional non-conference games that are going to have to be discussed and how they fit. And, yeah, I'm talking about the 4 SEC-ACC rivalry games. Mm. You know, what do those look like in a world? Now, it helps that the ACC and SEC have the same television partner for the time being. But what do those look like in the next 10, 12 years? And how does the Big Ten handle the, you know, the MAC thing that they've done for so many years? You follow me? I mean, it invites more conversation to where really – and then, oh, by the way, the overriding structure of how college athletics is going to be governed, which is totally another show.
Right on.
That's true.
A lot of moving parts.
Wes, we got to run, man. Great stuff as always. Make sure you listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wes and Dave will have all of the action as we take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Falcons, and Bucks. Big division game on Sunday. Wes, have a great call. Thanks so much.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. And by the way, congratulations to Steve Holman on 3,000 tonight. That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yes. We're just going to talk about that in Guy Talk.
Absolutely amazing. Yep. Well, what else is coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
Hey, man. Mike Conti trolls Canadians. You know, play-by-play. And, you know that Texas kid with a nice head of hair? We find out the story behind Ticketmaster Studios at Falcons headquarters. More about what Coach Ra had to say to us on the way. We were just joking around. Do you make your political your decisions on your election and who you're going to vote for? On which candidate inconveniences you the least when it comes to being here in Metro Atlanta during the campaign?
Yeah. Well, listen. When you want to get home, and you guys know we live in a major metropolis, and listen, traffic is what it is. But when you want to get home, the last thing you want to hear is traffic will be delayed by something else.
Former President Trump is going to be at Gas South, which is in direct correlation. I got to correct myself. People get mad at me with our projected route home today, Carl. Not that somebody's looking to ambush you or me on the way home.
But, yeah, man.
You know, we're trying to get home. Hopefully, he talks for a long time. Starts at 7, you said? President goes on at 7. Okay, good. Hey, Carl. Steve Holman, you just heard Wes
Drewham
mention his 3,000th consecutive Hawks game on radio. Tanked! Against Brooklyn. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. First of all, I want you to think about how many times you've missed work just because.
Right.
And then I want you to think about events that happen in your life that you have nothing to do with that affect your life, and you missed work. He had missed, regardless of what's happened.
Right.
And he's called these games, shown up. It's a tribute to Steve.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, and not only his longevity, Mike, his professionalism, we love him, and congratulations. Last year, we thought he was going to get it when the Hawks went on the road and tried to win that game in Chicago, and it didn't happen. But he was like, well, I'm close. Maybe I'll get it, at the beginning of next season, God willing. And here we are.
Right, and a great guy, and proud that we can call him a buddy and a neighbor where I live on the South Side. Just a great guy. And again, with all due respect to our current Hawks team, Steve's had to sit through a lot of bad basketball.
Airball by Dennis Schroeder, for the love of God.
Yes.
Which still to this day makes most of our audience laugh out loud. Still. Hey, let's get out of Mike Conti and Jason Longshore up in Canada last night. Montreal, one of our favorite cities. Last night, as we looked like we were about to blow a 2-0 lead, we're battling back. And then, the Canadians are getting into it with Conti, and Conti fires back.
And Montreal's season is done.
You can taunt me all you want. The game is over. I'm getting paid money to call the game. So, sorry you lost, but have a good drive home.
I love it. It's great.
Now, again, most of Canada hates the Quebecois for a reason. I always enjoy my time in Montreal, but that is funny as Mike fires on Canadians last night as they were taunting him. Hey, speaking of taunting.
Apparently, too, there was more, but unplayable, right?
Yeah, needless to
say. Unplayable.
You and I talked about this after that Ravens Commanders game when this idiot, John Callis, whose name immediately went viral. People identified this idiot who was sucker-punching Commanders fans after the Ravens victory, saying, I never lose. And then words started to leak out on social media that he's basically a rich kid who's been kicked out of prep schools and daddy's bailed him out of this and that. Well, turned himself into Baltimore PD, and now we know he's going to blame it on the alcohol.
Is he really?
Of course he is.
Well, what was he drinking?
Well, he says it was cocaine and alcohol addiction, Judge.
Cocaine's a hell of a
and
drug.
That's what it was. And the judge said, nope, no bond for you, tough guy.
Wow.
Callis's defense attorney, he lobbied for him to be released into an outpatient rehab program for his year-long cocaine addiction and alcoholism.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Again, rich kid. I mean, look, this is the quintessential rich kid that you'd want to see literally get behind bars, which he is. The state attorney said, nope, hell without bail, calling him a threat to public safety and indicating he could be a potential flight risk because he's got a place in Florida.
Okay.
And the family's rich, and we saw what happened with that kid who killed the people at DUI.
Yeah.
The mother took him down to Texas. He was on the lam.
That's right.
So he's going to stay in jail, man.
Wow. Mike, so he was on
denied bail.
He was on a cocaine bender and some alcohol.
Yes, and he started just punching guys. He literally looks like like somebody should be in the Cobra Kai. Yeah, Johnny, get him a body bag. Well, now Christmas coming around, get him a soap on a rope.
Yes, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, if you were watching that Texas-Georgia game, the Texas fan's sad expression went viral. We now know who the guy is with the Conway Twitty-like locks, Carl.
That's a good call.
Just beautiful hair of Grant Walther. He's become a meme. As you guys know, as things were going down, and you just remember for our studio audience here.
The big head.
Showing Chris and Jersey Mike. So he did an interview, went public. He says, telling the Daily Mail, I want to be a lawyer. That's my goal. I never had internet meme as something that I wish to achieve, but I guess it's here. And it's been the most out-of-this-world experience. He says that he hopes to turn the experience into a charitable event. Maybe he's going to hook up with Matthew McConaughey, who's been known to get involved with the Texas players to cut their hair to raise money for cancer research.
Yeah.
sometimes even donate some of the hair for people.
That's a great call. The kid will get a lot of love if that happens. And Mike, by the way, he wants to be a lawyer. He will be a lawyer.
Walter said his friends immediately alerted him that he was going viral. Now he gets stopped on the Austin campus and on the street. How about that now famous hair? In case you're wondering, ladies and men, I just have naturally thick hair. I use a 2-in-1 wash, and I do absolutely nothing to my hair. He says, I wake up every morning, I take my shower, wash my hair, and boom, it just kind of takes a mind of its own. So basically, it's like Lego Batman. Remember Lego Batman takes off the mask,
and the hair
just foops into place?
Well, there it is right there, 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, Mike. That's what he needs to be
he's
doing.
He's always had hair like that. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. So good for him, man, because it was kind of a funny meme with him just looking like so forlorn as Georgia was running roughshod over Texas. I got time for one more, Oren. I know we got to get to Falcons. Here's a story from down in Florida. Not a Florida man, but a Florida woman in Jensen Beach, Florida, which is right down the street from Port St. Lucie. This is something I've often wondered. Has it ever happened in Peachtree City? Not to my knowledge. A woman shocked patrons of a Florida restaurant Saturday night when she careens through the dining area on a golf cart, slamming into tables. Luckily, no one seriously injured, but some folks did have to go to the hospital. A surveillance camera at Taco Tiki in Jensen Beach records this jaw-dropping incident, which begins with a woman accidentally pilots a cart up a narrow ramp that leads to an outdoor dining area. So apparently she wasn't drunk.
Oh.
They did a sobriety test on her. She's just a nitwit who just couldn't get her foot off the gas on the golf cart.
Oh, wow. So she just kept laying it on,
yeah,
and then the cart got out of control.
There's dramatic video. A bunch of folks were hurt. I will see if I can punch this up in time for Carl to see and can relate to you here on the radio. But, yeah, she goes barreling through this restaurant. And, yeah, like you can see, here comes the cart. And there it goes, and it's smashing into tables.
That's crazy.
The details of the incident remain unclear. The woman tried to drive the cart herself, even though she clearly didn't know how. She said she was trying to turn it on, had never apparently operated the golf cart, but apparently one of the people she was with was too tuned up to do it. So it's probably the easiest thing in the world
it
to
is.
Operate.
It is, and you let your foot off the gas, and usually it slows down and stops itself.
Charged with careless driving causing injury.
Wow.
So, again, I do know that people have gotten DUIs in golf carts in PTC.
Yeah, absolutely. That has happened. I agree. Right. Yes, I've seen that actually happen as well. But she was not on cocaine.
No, that's the idiot from who, by the way, jail in Baltimore. Let that sink in, white boy. Anyway, on that note, Carl, there is your Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes & Bell. Hey, man, ale, get some at your favorite package store.
Falcon Report is on the way. We're live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Also, you're going to hear from Clint Capella. Hawks opening night tonight. What can we expect, and what does he think about this new-look Hawks team? You'll hear all of that and more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes & Bell.